Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Hi, I'm Father Cedric Pazegna. Thank you so much for tuning into my program. I want to proclaim to you that Jesus is the light of the world. This comes from the Gospel of John. This is chapter 8. Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. The one who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." First thing I do when I get up in the morning is I turn on a light. It illumines the room and shows me where things are. It's hard to walk when you're walking in darkness, but the light brings a whole new world. I don't even like to drive at night because you can't see anything. It's very difficult to see. I like to drive during the day because you can see what's on the side of the road. You can see what's in front of you so much better. Light illumines the darkness and brings all kinds of new things into our sight. I get emails all the time, and every once in a while I'll get an email from a person that says, "Father, I feel lost. I feel like I'm in darkness. I don't know where I am." And if that's you, I want to tell you that there's light, that Jesus is the light of the world. His brightness will illumine a way for you. Even if you're a believer, and you're going to church, sometimes you can go through a season where you feel lost, just don't know where you are. Things don't seem to be happening. Maybe your prayer life isn't doing it at the moment. And you can feel confused and lost. That's a darkness in our life. But Jesus is the light of the world. I love when I read the scriptures about Jesus because this was one of the most outrageous claims in the whole of the Bible. And Jesus does that every once in a while. For example, he'll say, "I am the resurrection." By the way, when he says that word, "I am," that's ego eimi in the Greek, which means it's a claim to divinity. Remember, "I am" in the Bible, way back in the book of Exodus, when God appeared to Moses, he said, "I am." So when Jesus is saying, "I am the resurrection," it's a claim to divinity. And then he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." That's another audacious claim. And then here's another one. "I am the light of the world." Think back about the transfiguration when Jesus' face became dazzling white, very brilliant. The resurrection, we have the Shroud of Turin that said some kind of this burst of energy, this light that came upon the garment. Jesus is light. That's what it says in the Gospel of John right there in the beginning, that the light came into the world and the light was the life of people. Wow, love that. In the Catholic Church, after Lent, we come to a climax. It's called the Triduum, where we celebrate the Last Supper, Good Friday, and then Easter. And at the Easter Vigil, that happens on Saturday night, we gather outside of the church building and we light a fire, reminding us of resurrection, of light. It's very hypnotizing. Everybody looks at the fire. Then we take the Paschal candle, and the Paschal candle is lit. And then we all together, hundreds of people, we all go back into the church, which is dark, and we have the candle, the big Easter candle, and a song is sung, "Christ Our Light," and everybody sings, "Thanks be to God." The light of a candle has no shadow. I don't know if you've ever thought about that before. There we are in the church now, the Paschal candle is lit, then everybody has a little candle that they're holding, and then they start to light all the little candles from the Paschal candle, the Easter candle, symbolic of the presence of the risen Christ, and then the whole church glows. It's very hypnotizing, and all from that one Paschal candle light. And that's another thought I want you to grasp, is that no matter how many candles are lit from that one candle, that light is not diminished. In the same way, the light of Christ is not diminished as he comes to millions upon billions of people all around the face of the earth. And then we celebrate, of course, resurrection, light, dazzling, brilliant, Jesus, the light of the world. I want to focus on light for a little while because this series is called You Are Blessed. I think one of the greatest blessings that God gives us is light. We don't always think about that. Sometimes we take light for granted, but light illumines our way. Many people get up in the morning when it's light. They go to bed when it's dark. It's a natural rhythm of life. And there's so many blessings in life, but one of the greatest gifts, of course, is light. Light is energy, scientists tell us. It's momentum. It's very fast. At 186,000 miles a second, that goes around the Earth 7.5 times in 1 second. That's how fast light travels. Light is energy and momentum. We need light for everyday living. For example, I talked about sleeping and rising. Most of us go in terms of the harmony, the rhythm of light. And then people that go to the beach, people love to go to the beach, I do too, and they go on sunny days. On a cloudy day, you don't see a lot of people at the beach. It's the sun that makes the beach. It's the light that makes the beach. And then, of course, in architecture, we have skylights in our homes, makes the light come in, and moon roofs in our cars, and the use of windows, even in our churches. Especially, I'm thinking about the Crystal Cathedral in Orange County, California, now a Catholic cathedral. The way to let the light in, all these plate glass windows, and it's a way for us to see out. Light illumines our path and our journey. And then, of course, I'm thinking about solar panels. We have these in Texas. Well, we have them all around the country, but I just read an article today in the paper that solar panels are more and more in use in Texas, because it uses the light to provide energy. We have some in our monastery in Louisville, Kentucky. We have some solar panels that were donated to us, and we use it to save money on energy. It's natural energy. And then I think about accent and ambient lighting that we can put in our house. I have some near my bedroom, changes different colors each day from red to blue to green, depending on how I feel that morning. And then what about Christmas lights? Think about Christmas time. I love looking at the different houses and the different displays and how they use lights. Light can inspire us and can change our moods and make us feel better. I spent time with my two television producers talking about the lights in this filming. Lights are very important. They have to be in the right position, can't be too bright or too soft, have to be exactly right. And we work hard to make this filming just right by the use of lights. Lights are very important that way. And then think about your iPhone. Those of you who have iPhones, they have a flashlight in them. That's interesting that the designers put a flashlight in them. Why? Because sometimes at night, it's hard to see, and you hit the flashlight on your iPhone, and it illumines your way. It guides you. I'm talking about some of the purposes of light. When Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," he said that for a reason. Yes, he is light. John chapter 1 tells us, and God is light, the Bible tells us in 1 John. God said, "Let there be light." That was one of the first things that God said, because this is the way God is. He cast his very own image into creation. Light is a precious resource. And when Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," he was saying that I have come to guide you. I have come to bring you healing. I've come to dispel the darkness. And I've come to illumine you. Thank you. light brings life. I'm thinking about plants. Think about the plants all throughout the world. Those of you who are horticulturists know this, that plants do something called photosynthesis. What they do is they take the light, they receive the light, and they actually produce food for themselves from the light. Plants need light in order to eat. Plants need light in order to live. Similarly, we need light in order to come to life. And what I'm thinking about is the word in the Greek for life in the Gospel of John is zoe, zoe life. That's God's life. You see, Jesus is the light of the world, but he's the light within us. The purpose of Lent, for example, in the Catholic Church is that we would be purified and illumined, enlightened. Jesus brings light by living within us, and in our prayer life, you can get to know the presence and the person of the Holy Spirit in you. It's like food for the soul. It's photosynthesis, if you will, for the human being, having the Spirit alive in you, having Jesus' light, and you know that you will never, ever be consumed by darkness. Light brings life. Not only does it illumine our way, it brings life. It brings food. It brings what we need. The first chapter of John is very interesting. It talks about the Word who is with God from all eternity, and the Word became flesh. And it talks about the Word being light that dispels the darkness. I remember one time I was in Florida visiting my parents, and it was right at a time when the space shuttle went up. And it was a space shuttle launch, not during the daytime, but at night. My parents live nearby the ocean, and I remember I went up on the 7th floor of one of the hotels, and I watched. It was about midnight, and there goes the space shuttle. It was pitch dark, and all of a sudden, when the space shuttle took off, even though we were 30 miles north of it, this light illumined the sky, and it shone off the ocean, and it was like the birds must have been confused, because all of a sudden it was daytime. And it was like all of a sudden, right in the middle of the night, it's daytime. Wow, it was very interesting. But what I want to tell you is that the darkness that was all around was dispelled. Darkness in the Bible is very symbolic. It's not just a dark ambiance of the day or the night. It has to do with doubts, sin, death, confusion. Darkness is that time of evil. It's the time where sin prevails. It's the time of everything that is down, at least in the scriptures. But one thing light does is it dispels darkness. And I want you to hold on to that image of the space shuttle, because that's exactly what Jesus does. He dispels the darkness in our life, whether it be doubts or confusion, or even death in our life. One day Jesus will raise us up. And then light brings healing. I just found out about a new cataract that they have. Cataracts are the lens that they implant within your eyes. When you get older, when your lens gets cloudy, they put cataract lenses in. Well, they have a new type of cataract now. And the new type of cataract is called an adjustable cataract. They implant it in your eye, and then what they do is they work with that cataract, that new lens, with UV light to adjust the prescription in the lens so that eventually you can get to 20/20 vision through light therapy. And that's exactly what light does. When I've been working too hard, I'll take a little break. I'll just go outside and get some light therapy. I'll stand in the sunshine, face the sunshine, and just soak it in. Wow. It's a therapeutic time for me. I drink in the vitamin D. I drink in the luminescent light. And then, of course, when it comes to light being therapeutic, I think about one of my friends. We went to the seminary together. He was a Filipino, and we were studying in Chicago. Chicago has some dark, dank days and a lot of cloudy days. Well, my friend started getting depressed. He eventually went to a doctor because he's not a real depressive type guy. He's usually kind of the life of the party and laughs a lot and that kind of thing. Went to the doctor and he said, "Doctor," he said, "I don't know what's going on with me, but I feel really depressed." They did an examination and they diagnosed my friend with SAD syndrome. SAD syndrome is when it gets cloudy or winter and it's kind of dark out earlier, people start getting down and getting depressed. The doctor gave him an interesting prescription. He told him to get a light, turn it on, turn it up, and leave that light on. And it worked. Having that light on in the room all the time brightened his mood. It was therapeutic. When Jesus said, "I am the light of the world, no follower of mine will walk in darkness," he was saying that whatever darkness you have as you come to Christ, as you allow Jesus to saturate you with his light, he will not only brighten your mood, he will lift your heart. He will bring you higher. He will take you out of despair. He will give you the courage to face your depression, face your addictions, and be more than a conqueror through Christ. Light is therapeutic. Light guides us. I began by talking about that. I said we need a flashlight. I begin in the morning by turning on a lamp so I can see. Light shows us the way. I love what it says in the Bible, Psalm 119, "Your word is a lamp to my feet." Did you get that? The scriptures, the word of God, is a lamp to guide us. It illumines our way. Remember how I began the program? That the path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter until the noonday. And that's because the word of God gives us guidance and help. The word itself is luminescent. The word has splendor and guides us along our way. And there's a place in Florida near where my parents used to live. It's called a lighthouse. And there's a place there, there's an inlet called Ponce Inlet, Ponce de Leon. The Ponce de Leon lighthouse is 175 feet tall. And it's been there for 150 years. And what happens is, whenever there's storms, and especially at night, and whenever there's fog, the light of the lighthouse guides the ships so the ships don't crash against the shore or get into danger. And that's exactly what a lighthouse does. When Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," he was saying, in the midst of all the confusion, in the midst of all the darkness, in the midst of all the doubt that's present in this world, "I am the world's light to guard you, to guide you, to help you so that you won't have a shipwreck." I think about the three wise men. Remember the story of the three wise men, and they were searching for the newborn king. What was it that guided them to the newborn king? It was the light of a star. Scientists are wondering exactly what that was. Was it a convergence of planets? Was it a bright star? We're not quite sure, but that light was guiding them to the Christ child. And that's exactly what light does. It guides us. Well, as they were going toward the Christ child, born in Bethlehem, but they didn't know it at the time, all of a sudden the light stopped shining. They lost track of it, and they got lost. They went to Jerusalem, and they inquired, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews?" They looked in the scriptures, and it said Bethlehem. And then suddenly, the light reappeared. I think about our prayer life. Oftentimes it's like that. We have consolation. Everything's going great. We feel the light. We feel the life. We feel the glory. Then it disappears. What happened? Did I do something wrong? That's the ebb and the flow, the ups and the downs, the seasons, if you will, the seasons of life that our prayer life has. There are ups and downs. You can't just be on a mountaintop all the time. And what happens is that sometimes that light is shining and then it just disappears for a little while. When that happens, and maybe it's happening in your life right now, when that happens, don't give up. That's your time to be strong in faith. Remember what Jesus said? Blessed are you who believe without seeing. It's faith that leads to light and to sight. And then I love what it said in the scriptures. They were overjoyed because the light came again, led them right to the Christ child. That's what light does. It brings you, it guides you, it helps you along in your journey. And that's why Jesus said, I am the light of the world, because billions of people are lost. They are out there in darkness. They don't know the way. And Jesus is saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the light of the world. He couldn't be more explicit and clear. What an audacious statement that Jesus made. No one in the history of humanity has ever said, I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection. Remember, it's a claim to divinity, I am. And then the sentence itself, wow. Jesus, the bread of life, the light of the world, the resurrection. So true. Light guides us when there's darkness in our life. Light dispels the darkness. Light is therapeutic. Light illumines. Light helps us. And then real life. We're blessed because there is light no matter what we're going through, whether it be confusion or doubt or depression or addictions. One of the maladies that I have had to deal with most of my life is fear. And fear hits most people. And when it does, it's very hard. I call it a darkness. But it was the light of Christ that brought me courage, a way through it, and I became a new person because of this light dwelling within me, the light of Christ. I remember the story of Nick Wallenda. Nick Wallenda is a high wire artist. Maybe you've heard of the Wallenda family. If you've seen Nick Wallenda, he has walked on tight ropes over the Grand Canyon, parts of the Grand Canyon. He has gone over a live active volcano. He has walked on many other places. And then what happened one time, they were doing a practice. There was about 8 to 10 of them up on the high wire, I believe it was in Las Vegas or somewhere, and they were just practicing and they slipped. All of them fell. His sister almost died. Many of them broke bones. It was a terrible tragedy. And now, to get back up again, they wanted to do a high wire act over Times Square. To get back up again, he had to face fear. Well, how do you do that when you've almost been killed by falling? I watched it, it was on live TV. It was a windy day, the walk across Times Square, he and his sister, thousands of people below, millions of people on television. Talk about pressure. And I noticed when Nick Wallenda walked on that wire and his sister in different directions, heading toward each other, crossing by each other and going back to the buildings, I noticed that he was praying. Instead of looking down or feeling the wind or concentrating, he focused on Jesus. In fact, he was more than praying. He was praising. He was thanking God for victory. He was saying, Jesus, thank you that you're with me. And that's exactly what we have to do in our life when there's depression, when there's fear, when there's confusion, when you get a sense of desolation in your prayer life. That's the time not to focus on the darkness, but to concentrate on the light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever comes to me will not stumble in darkness, but you will have the light of life. And I am praying this series again, it's about you are blessed. I am praying that you will recognize that the light you have in your life is but a facsimile of the true light that lives within. And whatever darkness you are struggling with, whatever darkness you have in your life, whether it be fear or depression or doubt or confusion or addictions, as I was saying, whatever it is, grieving, and we all have darkness in our life. Maybe it's a habitual sin. Whatever darkness you have, don't focus on that. Focus on Jesus, the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. My follower will not stumble or walk in darkness. They will have the light of life. And I love what Jesus said. You are the light of the world. I talked about that image at the Easter Vigil, how we all gather in community. And when we gather in community, we gather together to sing and to praise because we are the light of the world. We have the light, the illumination, the enlightenment of God living within us. I love this one song that we sing. Christ be our light. Shine in our hearts. Shine through the darkness. Christ be our light. Shine in your church gathered today. Don't just live, live with passion. This is Father Cedric Pizania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs, you can listen to more podcasts, you can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.